while Brother Cornell comes to the platform, let's all sing it. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
You may be seated. Let me say, first of all, how happy I am to be here. For my family and I to have this honor and privilege to be with Brother Rutledge and this church in Pine Bluff. We've had the privilege of being in Arkansas for the last month, been in the ministerial conferences, and it's been a real treat to meet all the brethren. I owe, first of all, a thanks to this church and appreciation, and then I owe an apology for the meeting I was in here. Thank the ladies, and everybody worked hard to fix that nice supper. And that was a beautiful, lovely supper. Then I have to apologize for keeping them late. You know, and be late getting there. That's not hardly fair to the cook. But I always wind up last in those meetings, so I'm the dirty dog. They take their time, and I have to hurry. But we did enjoy it, and we promised Brother Rutledge we'd try to come back by one service before we left, and we really tried to come last Wednesday, but we came down with that flu, too. Anybody had that thing? It hit you quick.
Yes.
It hit me so fast between a bowl of soup and the bed, I didn't know what happened. I was feeling real good. I thought first my wife poisoned me, but she declared she didn't.
I see.
And I even came to town last Wednesday, hoping I might feel better. It hit me Tuesday night. I waited to the last to call Brother Rutledge, telling me we'd be with him in the Wednesday service. I realized I couldn't. I just eased on out of town. I did come by the house. And we went on about our business, and we're going tonight to Fordyce with Brother Merle, and we're supposed to be there today. I told him I wanted to come here this morning because I appreciate the spirit of your pastor. I met him in this conference, and the spirit of men, it's easy to read. And he loves this church. He loves the work of God. And it's an honor to be here. I would say about the article he sent out only one thing. I'm glad he contacted Brother Rooks to make sure there's nothing wrong with checking up on the truth.
That's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
People that don't tell the truth, they're afraid for you to find out where it's true or not. But
that's
when
right.
It's the truth, you're not afraid. But Brother Rooks only had one regret about that story, and that is the healing didn't take place at home.
That's right.
But that's a strange thing about God. God does his business in his time where he wants to.
That's right.
He does not honor man by that, but his name gets the glory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I had a problem one time in Florida, and between two churches wasn't even in our fellowship, and I was called in to try to help, and between two other preachers and two churches, and because one of them had been my friend for a long time. And one of them had written his brother, Brother Andrew Urshan, a letter in regard to some of it. And I read the letter that Brother Urshan's brother received, and he had written it just a little while before he died. Had a little thing in there I never forgot. And And Joe had written him, his brother, to ask him, really to side with him, I guess, and I'll never forget his answer. In that letter, he said, Joe, he said, God has given a man two ears, one for each side of his head, that he might hear both sides of the matter before he renders righteous judgment.
That's good.
And he said, Joe, I've only heard yours. Amen.
That's good. That's good.
I've never, never felt bad if I told somebody something about some situation or somebody that they check to see if it's so.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
You know why? I'd hope they'd do the same to me if they hear I had done something bad or that they'd come and ask me if it's so.
That's
good. So I don't feel bad if somebody says, well, did it happen that way?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's if it's
right.
The truth, you don't have anything to worry about.
That's right.
But God is good to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Matter of fact, the what I'm going to teach you this morning, I got in Brother Rooks' church. We and I have been friends. We celebrated his 30th pastoral anniversary down there here a while back. I happen to have had his fellowship and friendship for the entire 30 years. I've been his neighboring pastor. I've watched him and helped him, and I've seen him bring the church from the little shack down by the railroad track to where they are today. I watched him build two churches. And I preached a lot of times in that church. I administered revivals. I've taken care of his church for weeks when he was sick. I've been our special services, special occasions during the week, most every occasion. But this particular time, I had to preach this Sunday night, and he wasn't to be there. And I tell you, I always get nervous talking to another man's kids, and Papa's not there. I really do. Because sometimes my kids don't get what I say right.
Yeah.
And I have preached when people said I said things I didn't say.
Yeah.
You ever hear that about that?
Been there. Uh-huh.
And they're not lying. They really think you said it. So in this particular time, I said, Lord, I want to preach tonight on something that it'd just be downright good and nobody can find fault with it.
Uh-huh.
So when he come back, when I'd say, well, he said so-and-so, I wonder what I said.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to preach on faith.
Uh-huh.
And I get my sermons, it takes me a long time to get them, folks. I got to make sure it's in this book.
Amen. That's good.
But that night in the vestibule, and I said, I've been going there about 20 years or better, I guess, then, and I was shaking hands with people that came in and greeting them. So I opened my Bible, like all preachers do, is check up on the scripture again, make sure they're going right. And between the handshake, God gave me my message. In 5 minutes. And what I'm going to teach to you today, God gave me in 5 minutes to turn my life around.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It stabilized my life in a way that had never been stable before.
All right.
Didn't change the Holy Ghost. I still got the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
Didn't change any of the basics of life, but it stabilized my life.
That's good.
If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do have them, I want you to turn to that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews.
Praise.
And I want you to stay with me today because I'm not your pastor. I don't know what you have need of. I'm not your evangelist, so I don't feel any real burden for carrying the services through to a conclusion in any one direction. So the little time I have with you, I'd like to leave something with you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. That would benefit you down through your life as much as this has benefited me.
Mm-hmm.
You see, for years I preached and I had faith, but to me faith, though I knew it happened and I knew what it did and I knew the results of it, I could not define what it was.
I see.
I really couldn't. It was like an intangible product. It works, but you can't explain it. Amen.
Amen.
A tangible product is easy to sell.
Yeah.
Because everybody can see what it does, and they know what it's going to do because they know why.
Uh-huh.
But an intangible product, you know it does it, but you can't explain it. And for years, faith was that to me. I could tell you what it would do. I could tell you what the results would be. But I really couldn't put my finger on it to say that's faith.
Bless him, Lord.
And all of us have it. And because of it, a lot of times I had faith when I didn't think I had it.
That's all right.
And a lot of times I didn't have it when I thought I had it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about faith in God and of God and for God to keep my life walking uprightly before the Lord and not be stumbling and wondering and confused all my life. Praise the Lord. You see, this chapter says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Is that right? And when I came up on that platform that night, I knew why God gave me the message. In that congregation sat a man that of every service of type, midweek, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, revival, special occasion, whatever, there sat a man on my left that had never missed a service. And all those years, I had never seen him moved by God at all. And I don't do this, but I did that night. I brought everything but called his name. He knew what I was talking about, and they did too. And I said, I want to ask you a question tonight. And maybe this is the object of the lesson that I was going to teach tonight. Is it possible we have made faith something it is not, that it confuses you, that you can't find God? If that's so, in behalf of all of us that love you and love God, I want to apologize tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, I wish I could tell you when the meeting was over, that man found the Lord. He's still a faithful or a regular man. No services, still not saved. Another 10, 11 years. I found out afterwards why someone told me why he can't come to God and won't come to God. And he said that in World War II, he killed so many men. He just cannot believe that God will forgive him. Then I knew why I preached the message for him that night, but it's been for me and not just him. You must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Praise the Lord. That man never will be saved until he has faith.
That's the truth.
Praise the Lord. You can't stay in the church without faith. You have to have it to come to God. You must have it to stay with God. So the devil wants it confused in our mind.
Amen.
He wants to almost make it like some emergency button. You live your life any old way until emergency time comes. Or use it like some kind of voodoo or magic wonder powder that you can sprinkle in some kind of a crucial hour. That's not what faith is. I'll never forget it. I marked my Bible. I got it marked now. I've never changed it. It jumped. It jumped just like a neon light out at me. I knew it came from God, and I haven't changed my mind yet because it's in the book.
Amen.
The first three words of this chapter, now faith is.
Lord.
Hallelujah. And that's my text today. Praise the Lord. I said, Lord, I have preached from this chapter. In fact, I was getting ready to preach that night from it. I said, where have I been? Now, faith is. This entire chapter is put in here to tell you what it is.
Glory.
It's not an intangible. It's the most tangible thing you can lay your hand on. Praise the Lord. You can put your finger on it and know you have it. Every day you live.
Amen.
God doesn't ask you to walk blindly. God doesn't ask you to take a wild leap out in a foggy world. and somehow believe that he's going to reach out there and get a hold of you. God let you know who he is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You got to believe he
is.
And that he is a rewarder.
Amen.
Of everybody that is seeking.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So our time is limited here today. Really, you'll have to teach this to yourself. I can only introduce it to you. Let me tell you what it is. Look down in verse 3.
Thank you.
I'm telling you before God, in 5 minutes, all these jumped out at me, and I never studied it out.
Hallelujah.
The first thing faith is. Now, faith is, and get it, please, the first thing it is understanding.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You don't have to walk confused.
That's right.
You don't have to walk wonderingly.
Right.
You can understand who he is, who you are, what he wants to do for you, where he's going to take you. He's coming back. Hallelujah. You can know in whom you believe.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now you say, how do you understand that? Look what he says. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Said, you understand it. I understand that. Do you? Look what he said the rest of it. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, we shouldn't be too hard on archaeologists and those that study creation and the world, the things they put in their textbooks. That's the way it looks. Amen. It appears that's the way it is. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
That's right.
When they get down and try to figure it all out, uh-huh, they have to believe it's that way because that's the way it looks. But you see, I don't believe that. I have faith that the world was framed by the word of God.
Yeah.
And the only way I can understand that is by the word of God, hallelujah. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in the beginning, Genesis said, God said.
Yeah.
And I'm just dumb enough to believe it, hallelujah.
Lord.
And the only way I can understand this world and this creation is because the word of God said it, and I have faith in the word of God. Amen. Oh, yeah, I know why I'm Pentecostal. Amen. I didn't know why I was Baptist, but I know why I'm Pentecostal. My brother don't know why he's Methodist, but I know why I'm Pentecostal. Those that brought me up for a few years don't know why they're Mormons, but I know why I'm Pentecostal. I got it from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the only way you'll ever understand creation is just believe what the Word of God said.
That's right.
Huh? I'm not going to argue. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I can understand that.
Yeah.
And if I can understand it, that's faith. What I'm trying to get over to you today, just believe the Word of God, hallelujah, and you've got to understand it. Glory.
Yeah.
Now, if I can understand creation by the word of God, and that's faith,
that's it,
then I could understand a new creature by the word of God, and that's faith, hallelujah.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's not some kind of bubbly, mystery, some never land. We know who we are.
Amen.
We know where we're going.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen.
The reason I believe in repentance, baptism in Jesus' name for remission of sin, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the evidence being the tongue, it's in the Bible. I can understand it if it's in the book. And if it's in the book, I got faith in it, and that's understanding, hallelujah. And that goes beyond feeling. Don't make any difference how you feel about it, it's what it says. And if you can understand it, simply by saying that's what the Word of God says.
That's it.
That's faith.
That's
the devil don't want you to know this.
Uh-huh.
He wants to think you got to do handsprings, backflips, run the aisle,
uh-huh,
and the day you come down with tonsillitis or a toe ache and you can't move like you ought to move anymore, that you lost it all.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you one thing. I've laid these old hands on these old knees of mine a lot of times. God hadn't healed them yet. I'm about like Paul was. I'll just live for you anyhow, Lord, with the thorn in the flesh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I went to some of these meetings. I've been to a lot of meetings. Uh-huh. I've been all across this country.
Uh-huh.
Last summer, we made 13,000 miles, my family and I. Can't tell you how many states, but 9 camp meetings. Well, I saw it all.
Uh-huh.
And they get up, and they get down, and I'm sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
They look at you. What's wrong with that guy? Mm-hmm. Well, they give you that old mean look. What's wrong with him? Don't he believe the power of God?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes us older folks know what we're talking about. Sometimes you don't get up and go, done got up and went. you don't feel all that spring that you used to spring, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I had a guilt feeling for a long time, but I finally got me a little help in the Word of God. You know, if you're going to get help, it's best to get it in the Word of God.
That's right.
And really, if you're an apostolic church, you better get it from the book of Acts. And it'll really help you if you get it from the second chapter.
Uh-huh.
I got me one. I got them read it to them. Hallelujah. It filled all the house where they're sitting. The first time it ever fell, it fell where they were sitting.
That's right. Yeah.
I said, y'all shut up. I'm going to sit and get it right on.
That's right. That's good.
Glory! It's in the book that way. I'm not against you getting up and getting it. If you want to run and shout and do the handstand, do the saint bodice, that's okay. But if I can't do it, he can get me where I'm sitting. Hallelujah! I got rid of my guilt feeling because I got an understanding. The first time they got it sitting down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So look at me all you want to. Hallelujah! I'm going to enjoy the Lord just sitting where I am. Praise the Lord! I tell you, folks, it's good to know what you know by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, faith passes just that old don't know stage into the know stage. Paul said, I know in whom I believe.
He said it.
And I'm telling you, I know why I'm in Pentecost. It's in the book. I know why there's one God is in the book. I know why it's baptism in Jesus' name is in the book. I know why it's repentance is necessary to get forgiveness is in the book. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you don't feel a thing and the devil tells you God 10,000 miles away, hang on to the word and understand that you're a child, hallelujah, and you'll make it. Understand. That brother I talked to that night, that friend of mine, he don't understand yet that God will forgive him. He's just and faithful to forgive us if we ask him. He hadn't learned that in the word yet.
That's right.
All the years he's been going to church. It's going to be a sad thing. He's going to sit there and die and go to hell because he won't believe God. It's good enough to forgive him.
Oh, help us,
Jesus. Mm. That's why you ought to be in Sunday school.
Amen.
I got a little faith out of that word today from Brother Rutledge. Did you? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
I get a little faith out of you. You are the Word of God.
Amen.
You're living epistles. Amen. When I can see God doing things in you, it gives me faith.
Hallelujah.
I can understand that. It's in the book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now he's up. Here this lady got healed. You're talking about her blinded eyes. And oh, the miracles I've seen God perform. I have been privileged one time in my life, 32 years ago, to be in a service. One time. No one ever talked about it, but I had the pleasure of being there and seeing it for myself. There was a glory cloud over the altar of God, all across the platform.
Uh-huh.
Just like a fog, a haze, just laying there.
Praise God.
No one called it down. I never saw it before. I may never see it again, but I saw it once.
Hallelujah.
We're just laying there. Didn't come down because the whole church prayed it down. Everybody just about it was gone. Out to the hamburger joints. But a couple were still seeking God. Two young ladies. Two of the finest Christians you'll ever find today. In all the world. Just praise. Kept hanging on.
Hallelujah.
Just praying. Quiet. Saints had already gone back. Except one was still with one. The other one finally sat down over there and was still praying. After a while, the other one come on back. Oh, we were all wore out, we just kept praying. Not loud, just praying. We wanted them to have the Holy Ghost and they wanted it. Oh man, when God filled them with the Holy Ghost, whew, he just slayed them. I want to tell you something. Everybody got under that cloud, got slayed. It hit you just like a typhoon hit you. The news started going out. Something happening down to the church. Those old chronic seekers, Jesus, 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 Jesus. They started coming back. They could stand just as close to that glory cloud as you want to, and it wasn't no different. But somebody just kept easing them under it. And when they went under it, they come out filled with the Holy Ghost. Nobody left there without the Holy Ghost that was under that cloud. I can't explain it to you, but I understand it because I was there. I saw it happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen some miracles in my day, but you see, that was 32 years ago. Now, if I had to sit around and wait for a glory cloud every week or anything happened, or I felt God, or I believed in God, or I trusted God, or somebody getting their blinded eyes opened every week, I wouldn't have much faith in God. But oh, God wants you to have a living faith. Hallelujah. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. And we're going to walk with understanding that he's God and we're the servant. He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly before him. We understand it. We're going to serve him anyhow. Sick or well, shouting or sitting still, he's still God. Hallelujah. And we understand we're his children and he's our father.
That's right.
Most people have lost out with God, got confused.
Praise God. Amen.
Win the tower.
That's the truth.
Don't let the devil take your understanding. Because he takes your understanding, your faith is gone.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You listen, I don't understand. I can't understand. You're not letting the word of God reach you.
That's right.
Take that word of God just like it is.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Look what you got to do after. You can tell if they understand it or not.
Amen.
Down in verse 4. Your sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
It'll cost you something to get in this church.
Bless God.
It'll cost you something to stay in this church. Mm-hmm. It'll cost you something if you walk with God. It cost him something for you to get in.
Amen.
It'll cost you something.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You'll have to change your ways.
That's right.
You'll have to change your friends. You'll have to change your company. May have to change your job.
Amen. Amen.
The sacrifice Abel and Cain gave the offering. One was a sacrifice and one was not.
That's right.
I went to a friend of mine at church. I didn't know I was reaching for him. But I was. I didn't know it. But I knew it was mine. So I got every scripture in the Bible where it said God is no respecter of persons. I read it. Then I preached that God is respecter of persons. And I come up afterwards, he said, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that. I said, why? When you started reading them scriptures, those scriptures said, I knew you were going to preach the opposite.
Yeah.
I said, your mind working right. I know your mind. I didn't want you hunting them up. I wanted you to know that I knew they were in the book. But you read it in Genesis. When you get home, time to go home, under Abel and his sacrifice, God had respect.
Amen.
But under Cain and his offering, he had not respect.
Amen.
And my point was, God, if my brethren don't respect me, if the people of this world don't respect me, I want you to respect me.
Hallelujah.
When I lift my hands and praise you, God, you won't take them unless you respect me.
Uh-huh.
when I kneel to pray, God, and start pouring my heart out to you, I want you to respect me enough to hear me when I pray. God, when I walk in that pulpit to preach, please respect me when I preach. If the people don't, dear God, I want you to. Friend, I want the respect to God. In the reason Abel had the respect to God is because he gave God what he knew God wanted. Hallelujah. And nothing less. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cain, you gave something to God, but you didn't respect God, and God didn't respect you. He wouldn't take it.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever I do, I want God to respect me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Somebody said, why don't I have faith? Maybe it's because when you had faith to understand what God wanted from you and how God wanted you to live, what God wanted you to do,
Amen.
You wouldn't pay the price. And without it, you can't please God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't you make up your mind today, God, I'm going to have enough faith to do it your way.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
Praise the Lord.
That's right. Hallelujah.
I told him down in a committee meeting the other day, about 25 years ago, I preached one sermon 40 times in a row. They said, why? I said it was working. I didn't want to quit. I was raising money.
Yeah. I see.
I preached on charity of choice. They want the notes. I said, been so long, I don't know what I got them, but I'll tell you the main reason what I preached. Too many times we treat God's work in God's house as a charitable place because the income tax makes it that, and if we give something, we can make it a charitable contribution. They put us on the same basis as the Red Cross, and when you paid your bills and you took care of your need, what you got left over, would you give some of it to charity? And that's what some people do to church.
That's right.
God said, I won't take your charity. The church is not a charitable organization.
Amen.
I don't care what the government said, as far as they're concerned, but not with us. It's not a charitable organization.
That's right. Right.
God said, I'll take choice. That's from the top. I don't want anything you got.
Right.
Hear me today. I'm really serious about it. That's why some people can't give to God, can't pay their tithes. They didn't have any left over to do with it. They're trying to work at charity.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, God has to be first, and then God take care of the rest of it.
Amen.
Don't ask me how it works, my friend. I know in the business world you got to use a little sense. But too many times I sat down what I owe and what I had to pay with. I wouldn't have had any money for tithes or any money for God if I'd have waited to the end of the list. But I've thrown the paper away and done what God wanted me to do first, and somehow it all works out. Don't ask me how it does, but it does. But you'll have to sacrifice if you put God first. It's firstborn, first harvest. God wants the first, or he don't want anything. He's got to be tops. Amen. You put God first, everything will work out.
Hallelujah.
But it'll take faith for you to do it.
Amen.
I was many years ago, where my wife was from, and I, when Brother Lumpkin was pastoring, there's a man today, he's not right with God. I remember that church was struggling, and Brother Lumpkin said, this man's having it tough serving God. He said, Brother Cannell, I'm not going to tell him, but I'm going to go over and ask him. And I went with him. He said, son, he said, I know you're having a financial struggle. He told me, he said, I'm going to tell him if he will, that God will bless him. I'm not going to tell him what I'm going to do, but if he'll just pay his tithes, I don't want his money. I don't want to give him back to him. I'll give him twice what he pays. I knew what was in his heart. He went and pleaded with the man, son, get God's blessing on your life. Let God bless you.
Hallelujah.
That man has never done it in all these years. He didn't know it, but here was a man willing to give him blessing twice. You hear me? Let me tell you what the Word of God says. It's going to run a good sermon I got, but I'll do it because it's still in the book. I'll get it another time. We tell people if you pay your tithes, God will bless you, which is true. But But if you don't pay your tithes, you won't have the blessing of God. That's not so.
All right.
You read it. Said if you pay your tithes, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you're cursed.
I see.
It's in the book.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'd rather have God's blessing than the curse of God on me.
Oh,
hear what I'm telling you today? I'm talking about faith. Oh, my friend, I've seen it happen too many times. So let me get off. You understand it? There's a lot of things I don't understand why it's that way. I understand it's in the book, but I don't understand why. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, if I get to heaven, I find out a woman don't have to have long hair. Me and Paul are going to have war in heaven. They said there don't be no war in heaven. I'm going to tell you that. You live in a woman with four, a house with four women, especially a motorhome with four women.
Uh-huh.
And long hair and all the tangles. I'm going to tell you, whoever is here to that meek, I won't never make it. My kid'd like to have you around. Because I'm the opposite from that the humble father. I can yell like, in fact, my CB handle is Sergeant Snorkel.
No.
And I can get it. But you know, that's a lot of struggle. You got to love God for your hair to be long and to wrestle with it. And you got to do it because you want to please God. Praise the Lord. If you make up your mind, I'm going to walk to please God. I don't care how I feel about it. I'm going to do it. That's faith. Let me hear. Look down here. He said, the next thing is, you'll have to go please because Tom's not going to let me. In verse 7, he moved with fear. Don't anybody make you believe that living by faith is just throwing caution to the wind. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. When Paul got ready to go through, the Bible said he assuredly gathered. You make sure you're doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
While you're doing this, Noah, I'm doing it to the saving of my house.
That's right.
I don't only want to be saved. I want my house to be saved.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Brother Rutledge, if you don't preach it like the Bible said, they won't be lost by themselves. You and your house will be lost. And God puts you over this house and they all be saved. You got to preach it like he said. Praise the Lord. Man, if there's anything a preacher wants is the crowd. If there's anything he wants is more people. If there's anything he wants is a bigger choir. Anything he wants is more people here, just a big old house full.
Amen.
But you got to have it God's way or you better forget it. Hallelujah. And to do it, you got to preach the word and say, thus says God. God said, do it this way. That's the way I understand it. And we're going to pay the price to keep it that way.
Amen.
Mm.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Look down in verse 8. I can't give them all to you. I'm just going to introduce you to go home and find out what this faith is all about.
Mm-hmm. Bless God.
The next thing it is, as you understand it, and you make the sacrifice, and you move with fear, and you make up mind I'm going to walk to please God, is just obey God.
That's right.
Can you get that one? Just obey him.
That's right.
Do it because he said do it.
Obey.
Huh? Abraham was the father of faith, and it was counted him because he obeyed God. Praise the Lord. And if that was his sign of obedience, with the greatest sign of obedience, of faith that he could give God, it's the greatest faith we can give God.
Amen.
Yet when he was ready to offer Isaac up, the Lord said, now I know you love me.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to say a word to you seekers he was speaking of. You're looking at one. I wore out the saints of the Most High God. I got far more blessing than they got. If I'd have been satisfied with a blessing, I'd have had it long time ago.
I see. Amen.
Oh, I remember the last deer hunting season on Thanksgiving Day on top of that. I was supposed to go deer hunting. It's the last day to get my deer. I said, God, I'll make the sacrifice and I won't go. I want the Holy Ghost. They had a special meeting. I resent it because on Thanksgiving. It ought to have been a family day, but I didn't want to be no families at that deer family.
Praise God.
I didn't eat any of that turkey and dressing. And I went to church that night. So help me God, that preacher, I could have preached his sermon better than he done. I knew everything he was going to say before he said it. And he didn't do too good when he said it. And I'm sitting out there, I've wasted my hunting trip, I've missed Thanksgiving dinner. They give the altar call. And I'd always try to be first. They said, you first. I thought, bless God, there ain't nobody get the altar first meeting. Not this night. I was sitting back there disgusted. Wasted all my time for God. Turkey and the deer. They done down at the altar praying. I'm sitting out like the old salt toad. I said, well, I might as well go down. Done missed it anyhow. And I went down and I knelt. And I had a man-to-man talk to God.
Hallelujah.
I said, God, I missed my deer hunt. I've missed Thanksgiving dinner. And Lord, I've come to service and hadn't felt a thing. I think that's some of the worst preacher I'd ever heard in my life. And God, the saints has worked with me all this time. And I'm just miserable. I don't know anything else to do, Lord. And I stuck my hands up strictly out of duty. Told God I loved him, and the Holy Ghost fell.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. It's not on feeling. I said, God, I don't know nothing. I don't know anything else. I'd laid on my back. They didn't have to knock me over. I'd done it all. I want to tell you something, friend. I got it so quiet, the preacher and everybody else, the pastor, been all the same. Did he really get it? You know, you're supposed to tear it up. I didn't tear up nothing. Not one thing. That devil stayed on me all week, said, you didn't get it.
Yeah.
You're a hypocrite. You're lying. They all know you didn't get it. I had to hang on to that word.
Hallelujah.
I said, devil, if I wanted a hypocrite, I'd have done it back there when I had them all shouting and we all shouting together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I wouldn't have done it that quiet. Devil, all I know, that Bible said they got the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And I spoke in tongues.
Thank you, Jesus.
And all your carrying on, I may believe I didn't. But really, sometimes I was whistling past the cemetery because my heart get real low. And I'd keep telling them that. And come the next week on a Saturday night, when I was supposed to be getting double time in a youth service, standing down front, it hit me. Now, you hear what I said? I said, it hit me.
Yes, come to you.
My feet wouldn't go straight down.
Uh-huh.
Now, some of you may have got lost in spirit. I wasn't lost. I knew what I was doing, but I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I tried to put my foot down, it'd go that way.
Uh-huh.
I tried to put this down, it'd go that way.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking in tongues, and I wasn't talking in tongues.
Yeah.
Now, if that's a contradiction, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I need to have been at the work. I was getting double time. And here I am on Saturday night down here dancing in church, knowing I ought to leave, and I can't put my crazy feet down, time to go. And I'm trying to tell somebody to get a hold of my coattail, and it won't come out coattail. And they get a hold of my coattail, and I'm all right. They let go, and I'm going around saying, get a hold of it again, and it won't come out, get a hold of it again.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you something. You can laugh if you want to. It's been my stability in life that all these years the devil would tell me you didn't get it. I said, devil, you're a liar.
Yes.
The Bible says that they spake in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And I know I didn't say it because I couldn't say what I wanted to say. I was trying to say one thing, it was coming out something else. So I know it was God. Quit lying to me. Hallelujah. I got it in the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't think it's something you jabber. It's something God does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He'll speak through you.
Good.
We don't seek tongues, we seek the Holy Ghost. The tongues will take care of themselves when they get there. I'm telling you, I needed that, Brother Rutledge. I needed it down through the years. Hallelujah. When the going got rough, said, I told you you didn't get it. I said, oh, but I talked in tongues, and it was the Spirit giving the utterance. It wasn't me. You'll never take that away from me. Hallelujah. I know I got it. Hallelujah. Now I'm down to the faith we're all looking for. The one we talk about, the blind lady. The diabetes healing or whatever, or the deliverance in the hour of trouble. It's right down here in the 11th verse.
Thank you, Jesus.
I barked in my Bible that night, faith for the impossible. Sarah bore seed when she was past of age. God let her bear a child.
Right.
That was impossible to do. But I want you to know it was way down the road. Abraham understood to get up and get out of there to a country God would show him. He made the sacrifice. He walked to please God. He moved with fear. He obeyed the Lord. Hallelujah. He got down there and God provided the need.
Amen.
Here's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Now, I hope and pray to God you get this. Don't ever expect to live any old kind of life. Pretend, hypocrisy, live any way. And when you get in trouble, to call the preacher to pray the prayer of faith that will save the sick. How many times have we been to the room and been to the tragedy? You need a 6-month prayer meeting to get any faith that God will do anything. They lived a life of confusion, never sacrificed for God, didn't walk uprightly before the Lord, lived any old way, wouldn't be obedient. You try praying for that kind of person.
Amen.
Faith is gone.
That's right.
You got to build a little up in yourself first.
Uh-huh.
But oh, you show me that person that's been an understanding child of God, that sacrificed to live for the Lord, that walked uprightly before the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That sacrificed, made sure they pleased God, had been an obedient. When you walk in that room, there's something there. Hallelujah. It's so easy to believe God for that impossible situation, that if God does not deliver it from them, God's going to take them through it with victory. Hallelujah. With or without it, because God is going to honor their faith.
Hallelujah.
Friend, I prayed for a lot of people. They may have not have gotten very much, but it was an honor for me to stand there. I got a whole lot from them. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Of the life they had lived for the Lord, and they still believed in God.
Hallelujah.
That's why at our service we bring them up around the altar, and we anoint them with oil, and we pray for them. The Word said it, and we believe it. We understand God is the healer.
He's a healer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me just give you 3 or 4 in a real hurry. I got to go. In the 20th verse, I marked this because I have twin daughters, and these are twin sons. Please, I'm appealing to you. I looked at this congregation of young people tonight, today. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Let's not be satisfied to stay in church ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Let's keep our children.
That's right.
I marked it that night. I said, God, my twins were just little babies. And I said, Lord, help me to have the kind of faith that I can bless my children with it in the days ahead. I don't want to threaten my children with church. I don't want to threaten them with an altar. But I want to tell them, Lord, that if you tarry, there's going to be a blessed day.
Hallelujah.
They're going to make their way to an altar. Mm-hmm. And they're going to bow their knee. They're going to repent. And a beautiful thing it's going to be. Because you're going to forgive their sins.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord, I want them to be blessed to know that down the road, if they do, there's a baptism coming up in Jesus' name. For the remission of sins.
Hallelujah.
And God is going to blot them out, and they're going to take the name of Jesus Christ. And God, another blessing is coming. They're going to get the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then they're going to be privileged to walk holy and uprightly before you.
Hallelujah.
Don't you think we need to bless one another?
Sure.
Our children?
Sure.
We got the kind of faith for ourselves, or can we pass it on? I'm glad somebody passed it on to me.
Hallelujah.
I wouldn't have had it if they hadn't had a good dose of it. Look at it down the next one. And then Jacob, he had it. He blessed his sons. when he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff.
Yes.
Listen to me today, some of you older folks. I said we may not be able to run and jump. We may have to sit and feel the Holy Ghost. But we can still worship God. Because we can't do what they do, let's not look down our noses and be bitter. Let's still have the blessing of God in our old age. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord in our heart. The older men ought to be able to pass it on, that sweet spirit, to these children, of the boys and the ladies, the young women. We ought to be able to pass it on. We ought to bless one another. Then it got a little further down there. Old Joseph, you see, first he's just going to pass it to his son, and then Jacob, he said he's leaning on his staff. When you get to the 22nd, it's still faith. Dying.
That's right.
He called his son, said, son, and a lot of people, don't help my day, I'm not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. Son, let me tell you, I still believe God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord is going to take you in that promised land.
Thank you, Lord.
Take my bones with you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about faith, folks. The kind that'll keep you. It's not black magic. It's not voodoo. It's not hoodoo. Go on down and read about refusing. Not, we got the gimmies with faith. But sometimes you got to take some things and leave them.
That's right.
It looks good, but it'll work.
Hallelujah.
Then he said, let me just tell you. Verse 27, they forsook Egypt. Verse 28, they kept the Passover. And verse 30, they walked around the walls of Jericho. Verse 31, Rahab stood on that wall. All they had was a word.
Thank God.
It never happened. But they believed it and they understood it because God said it.
That's it.
Oh, friend, I would to God I could get it over to you. And time won't permit me. I'm just going to introduce it and leave it. Said time would fail him to give you any more illustrations what it was. Told all these good things. When you get down to it, what is it all about? That they might obtain a better resurrection.
Hallelujah.
What's this all about? We're going to all die. Unless we're caught up in the rapture.
Thank you.
We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. I want the better resurrection. Don't you?
Yes.
I want to be in the rapture.
Amen.
And all I got to do is keep the faith.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I'm coming to you today with a little simple message that really not time enough to get it over to you. But if God could give it to me 5 minutes in the vestibule, and I took this long with you, I'm sure God can talk to you about it as you kneel in prayer and find out how your faith is with God. Huh? How is your faith? What do you believe today? Are you walking around in confusion expecting some kind of magic potion? Some kind of emergency button? No, it's a life of faith.
Hallelujah.
It's a life of faith. I want you to stand with me today.
Oh.
I'm just going to cut it. I don't have time to teach it all to you. But I've come here simply to share with you with something that turned my life around.
Hallelujah.
That stabilized me. And talk about the thing the Bible says it's impossible to please God without it. God wants you to have it. And the devil doesn't want you to have it.
Amen.
I told him that night when I was here, I reached for a lady that was afflicted that I had admired through the years. We had a tragic motorhome accident, my family and I. Total one out. Put my wife in the hospital a couple of months. Threw my baby up through the windshield and in my arms. God in his mercy let me catch her. None of us was seriously hurt, except my wife. God gave me a message to preach from that tragedy, and I couldn't preach it. The goodness of God. There was never a time we felt God was mean. But somehow, it was good. It was going to be all right. I don't have the time to tell you all the wonderful things that happened because of it. But I tried to preach it, and I couldn't. And I got on John the Baptist one day when John sent the Lord, said, Lord, are thou he? His faith had begun to fail him a little bit. Or do we look for another? Do we have to look somewhere else? The Lord said, you go tell John again. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. All the things he told him. I couldn't figure out why they had to tell him again. What's the whole purpose? And I went to the verse your pastor talked to about today, the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, and tried to compare what Jesus said in the synagogue he'd come to do and what John had been told twice was happening. What's missing? You know what was missing? Setting at deliverance the captives. John was in jail.
That's right.
You hear me? John was in jail.
Yes.
That wasn't happening. Then I read that last verse of that chapter, and the Lord used John to bring a message to all of us. That last verse said, blessed is he, whosoever. Not blessed are you, John, if you are not offended in me. But blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. And this was part of the faith I'm talking to you today. John, what I'm able to do, I may not do for you. But believe that I'm able, and don't
That's
be
it.
Offended if I don't do it. You hear me?
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying today?
Right.
Don't be offended in me.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know why tragedies happen. I don't know why heartache comes. I don't know why one that are faithful gets a blessing seem like they go up. Another one that gets a blessing seem like they stay or go down. I don't mean in sin, but in this world. But when you read Hebrews, the first half is not all of it.
That's right.
The last half is just as much faith.
That's right.
As that first half. Hallelujah.
That's right.
You hear me today? I stood at my general superintendent's son's funeral, Larry Chambers. I was with him in Columbia, South America when God called him to preach. And he'd been in the ministry for a while and been on the mission field, and he'd come home, he's confused what to do. And Larry and I'd loved him since he was a little boy. Took leukemia, too far gone. A short while, Larry was gone. His dad walked that pulpit at that funeral, the only boy he had. Said, folks, I want to thank you for praying for Larry. God answered your prayers, but in his own way.
Hallelujah.
I still believe in divine healing. He wasn't offended in God.
That's right.
If you get the right faith of understanding that this is God and he's got a master plan, you'll never get offended in God. I'm appealing to you today to know what you believe. Let the block get knocked out from under you. If it's predicated only on every power God has coming to you. Amen.
Amen.
God is God, whether I'm up or down.
Hallelujah.
The truth is truth, whether we're running the aisles or not running the aisles. I'm appealing to you. They don't get offended in God. Hang on to the word. If the word said it, it's so. I want you to bow your head for a minute.
Thank you.
I'm convinced tonight, or today as I'm here, you probably would never admit it openly. The reason I know I've been offended in God, John was a little offended in God. When he got offended, his faith failed a little. Is there somewhere in your life that something didn't work out and it wasn't really good and you lost a little faith in God? But I hope this message will tell you today, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. And whatever God said, it's so, whether it happened to me or not. I wonder today if the head bowed and the eyes closed, would you just raise a hand and say, Brother Connell, I need more understanding of God that I might have more faith. I don't want to be offended in my God. I want to know what I believe and why I believe it. God bless you, anybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good. He is good. He is good. Not when he puts more tithes in the plate, but he's good in a wreck. He's good in adversity. He's still God. Isn't he good? If you love him today, would you lift your hands and love him and say, God, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Everybody's singing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sing it. Oh, what a privilege to carry. God, hallelujah.